It's Justin Scott speaking on AnyRock90Online.com, and we are joined in studio by number 95, Jarrett Johnson, who had a long weekend in Baltimore.
Oh, my gosh. I think these weekends are killing me.
Yeah, these weekends are kicking that
ass.
They
are so much fun, though.
Okay, shout out McFall's Iron Horse Tavern.
Oh, gosh.
The dinner, unbelievable.
It really was incredible.
The dinner was amazing.
So good.
And the night started off,
pretty tame.
Plenty fancy pants.
There we go.
I show up.
Jared, we were
Johnson,
actually seated at a table.
Private room.
Private room, table, food and drinks. And the food just kept coming. I'm like, oh, this is a very nice evening.
Wow, I'm not paying for
it. And then 2 hours later, it was.
And 2 hours later,
guys, they got a human foosball table out back. We're doing shirts versus skins. Everyone get naked and I'll assign you a shirt.
I was for sure at one point that it was just not going to happen. I was like, Jared's like, we're going to play. They got human-sized foosball. We're doing it. I'm just like, yeah, okay, dude, whatever.
He's like grabbing people from their table that aren't
and
with us.
And then cut to 20
you're
minutes.
A power forward.
Yeah. And then we're all cut to like 20 minutes later. We're actually down there on the. They got a. It's outside. It's a huge human foosball court, and we're on there playing human foosball, and it was intense.
It was amazing.
I was sweating so hard, and it was a little bit chilly, not super chilly. But I was steaming as if I was playing football. Steam was just coming off the top of my head from human foosball.
Here's where things went so fully off the rails. You were against, it was you and Scott on a team.
Yeah.
Rick Lotion Strauss.
Yeah.
Tuck his shirt into his jeans.
Big boss
no
man.
Belt Strauss.
Big boss man.
Was on my team. And you and him put each other into the glass. You two were fighting for a ball, and he's fighting against one of the greatest defensive backs in NFL history. He's like shoving each other, and this man's not giving up a millimeter.
Not one bit.
He's putting his hip
so
and
awesome.
Ass into you. He's
so
like
great.
He's like stomping your foot, trying to break a toe.
Yeah.
Then the ball goes towards Scott, who's also playing goal. Scott's leaning in. He's blocking. One of our salespeople here thinks it's the World Cup.
Yeah.
And she starts kicking this ball, and she, like, breaks a toe.
She was convinced she broke her toe.
And then gets a piece of, like, arm caught on one of the poles and, like, tears some meat off.
Yeah, she walked out of there.
Next man up.
In rough shape.
There's somebody else in here.
She was beat up. Then there was your teammate, another girl in this human foosball table. Shout out McFalls. No shoes.
Yeah.
She's got no shoes. And the ground is not soft.
No.
We're kicking a hard ball. People are stomping each other's toes.
Yeah.
And this savage, this minx, is in there just so much.
Dude, I woke up the next day and, like, my big toe is killing me and my shin is killing me. I'm like, God, what did I do? Oh, that's right.
We're old and terrible.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't see the part earlier in the night when we started figuring out how the foosball table work. This is prior to the game. We're kicking the ball around. Jarrett just tuckers this thing into the woods.
Oh, I forgot about this. Oh,
yes.
My God.
So, Jarrett, you tucker this thing into the forest, and it rolls down some ravine. And this thing is a deep, steep ravine.
30 feet.
30 feet, at least. And just instead of easing up, you're
so
like,
we're standing there, looking at
you and I,
trying to figure out how we're going to get down this ravine to get the ball because we got to get the ball back. The game's got to continue,
right? Yeah. Of course.
And me being a total meathead and not the most intelligent, I just jump, and it was like into the abyss. It was I don't know what I was going to land on.
Oh my God!
Did you see what that pit was?
No,
you didn't see what it was.
I think there was a body down there.
A body would have been safer. It was a recently cleared bamboo patch, so it's nothing but spikes of bamboo.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you slip and fall, we're calling in a medevac.
You're impaling yourself.
Yeah, you're going to get one of those right through my ribs. You just dive down,
jumped.
Lobbed it back up. You just jackrabbit up the hill. Game on! And then right back in.
I'll tell you what, that place was bumping. That was a fun time.
Oh, dude, but Falls is awesome.
So much fun. So much fun.
And God, that's like a great time. 10 minutes from my new house. That'd be my jam.
The oysters. You know, oysters from all over the country.
Oof. Oh, yeah, those pork cracklings. They melted real nice.
Mm.
Shout out Ken Wyman. What's up, buddy? He was hanging out. And then a little later on, after dark, the dancing began. Hey, we work hard. We play hard. We were victorious. We won 3-2. We said, hey, DJ. And by DJ, I mean young man with guitar.
why don't you play us a little Belle Biv DeVoe, That Girl's Poison? He said, no. I said, you got it. And he started playing some Stevie Ray Vaughan, at which point Jared had to adjust his jeans. And we all took to the dance floor. And there was some sexual confusion. There were people dancing with people that had no business dancing with people. There were people in same-sex relationships that I was just wedging myself in between. Dove into Jared's arms at some point. Jared tried to dive into mine, and I was incapable of holding you up.
Yeah, Jared, you have the ability. Somebody compared you to a lab who is... Yeah. You're like a big lab who forgets he's like 80 or 90 pounds and just jumps on you and into your lap. And you're like, you forget that you're 6'3", 260 sometimes.
And sometimes I think I'm 6'3", 260.
That's an accurate description of me as a Labrador Retriever.
And you just want to jump all over everybody.
I am
and you're
most
like, dude, you're going to hurt me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me. That's me.
And I will say, too, we had a couple of just random fans swing through, and you are an ambassador to not just the team, but not just the station, but just human decency, to where some people just kind of rolled up out of nowhere, and man, you made the time to just talk. How's that burger, buddy? Is the burger good? You look like you're enjoying it. One super awkward convo later, you kept at it, and God bless you. If anybody took the time to talk to you, you sat and conversed with them.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. All right, I swear to God, we'll jump to news here in a second. We'll continue to catch up with Jared Johnson. There was a moment, Scott, you were inside, you were drinking in the bar at McFalls, and Jared went downstairs and refused to believe that this guy from Parkville looked the way he did and grew up in Parkville. Remember, he had like a beaded shell necklace. He was super yoked.
Yeah, I thought it was
beautiful
California.
Beautiful blonde hair. And you're like, you ain't from Parkville. And the guy's like, this is my idea. I grew up going, you are from California. And then you just began to rewrite their backstory. Yeah. You are a former helicopter pilot for CEOs, and your wife does macrame for handicapped children. And like, she definitely works at a fire department. Yeah. No,
he's from Parkville.
God. He hated me.
But you're so big.
And what's so
funny
is like... Like, he was doing the thing where he's, like, going out of his way to let me know that he didn't know who I was.
Oh.
You know, he was kind of doing that. Okay. And I'm sure I was being offensive because I was telling him where he was from and, you know, whatever. But anyways, so he kept saying, who are you again? What do you do? What do you do? You know, and somebody said my name. He's like, he'd been, like, doing this for, like, 30 minutes trying to let him know.
I don't know you, sir.
And then finally he goes, oh, wait, Jared Johnson? You're Jared Johnson?
Jared Johnson.
He was like, holy cow, man. And like, also, we were best friends.
I'm from wherever you want me to be, dude.
I'm from San Diego, man. I love the Chargers. When you were with the Chargers, I love the Chargers. I hate Parkville. I'm going to move tonight. My girlfriend's yours now. I love you, man. Hey, remember that one time you hit Hines Ward so hard he couldn't remember what his parents looked like? That was great. Let's go inside and get some oysters. I'm from Parkville.
Oh, man. So, Jared, you hung out with us Friday, you hung out in town Saturday, and then you watched the game on Sunday. I mean, 44-7. There's no pushover in the NFL, but you got your Browns, your Jags, your Jets.
Yeah.
Teams that more often than not haven't been great.
Right.
I mean, how much does that loss, getting just the game, the knee stuff's whatever, just the game itself, though, to have... The Jags on a national level, too, that this was a game that everyone's watching early on. First time Ravens have been there, so all kinds of people that aren't even Ravens or even AFC fans are watching. And again, just trounced like that 24-7. What were you thinking while you're watching it?
Well, I mean, it just got out of hand quick, you know? And once that ball starts rolling like that, I mean, we had no juice, nothing bounced our way. And then by the third quarter, when it was like, whatever it was.
Did you hear Weddle in the press conference?
Nah.
He re-echoed what you just said. He's like, when something starts getting out of hand in the first half, you're like, okay,
we have
the halftime. We can take a pause.
Regroup.
But then when it starts continuing to go bad, it's just it's slipping out of your fingers. Yeah.
And that's how this game went. I think the Jags defensively are way better than people are giving them credit for. Blake Bortles actually played a good game, shockingly, because he's terrible. But if I'm being honest, but yeah, it just got out of hand, man. We had nothing go our way.
Let me ask you a question as a professional athlete, because I had a pretty interesting conversation. You met my brother-in-law, Lou, big, tall dude with the beard. Great dude, a diehard sports fan, but he doesn't let it get to him that much. He'll get bummed, you know what I mean? He'll get bummed, but he realizes what it is. His other buddy totally gave up on sports because it was after a Steelers game a few years back, and he said he was so pissed off that he was like getting into fights with people, you know what I mean? He got into like, and he was all like, his voice was gone, and he was hungover, and he had gotten into a fight, and he was like, and then he saw the next day like a press conference or something, and one of the players was, you know, like joking around or whatever it was,
right?
And he thought to himself, he goes, "If this guy, I care more than he does. I care more than he does, and he's on the field, he's playing the game, and the wins and losses." It don't even matter as much as they do to me, and I'm here beating myself up, and I'm all pissed off, and I'm going through all this stuff, and I'm putting myself through the ringer. And he goes, well, for what?
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm done with it. So as a professional athlete, look, you're making money, dude, right? You're there. You're signing big contracts. It's a job, and you made a lot of money. You did all right for yourself.
Right.
So when you go through a loss like that, it's got to suck, but... I mean, there's a big but there.
Well, the problem is, as a player, is you can't dwell on it. You got to move on. You got to put it behind you. But there's also a respect factor. And players are super quick to get over a lot. They'll be disappointed. A lot of times, like, if you cost them the win, or if you do something stupid, or if you just played awful, it would beat me up for a long time. But a lot of guys, man, they'll be upset for a little bit. And then once they're on the bus or on the plane home, they're back, you know, feeling good, and hey, we'll get them next week, like whatever. Coaches take extremely hard, and you always have to be mindful of, even though you do have to move on, you do have to look to next week, you can't dwell on losses, you have to be respectful of not only the fans, but coaches put in twice as many hours as players do. You know, they work, they do not go home to see their family except for like once or twice a week. And so that was one of the bigger things for me, was not only being disrespectful to the fans, as players being disrespectful for coaches, because the coaches take it extremely hard.
Yeah, be mindful of that.
Talk to me about some losses that, or not some losses, some losing first halves that you were a part of, and what goes down in that locker room at halftime. I mean, sure, you get the Ray Lewis's of the world, and even the John Harbaughs with the sword and the shovel type speeches. Has there ever been a moment were you a part of a team, whether it be Ravens, whether it be the Chargers, where things were not working out, and who did what in that locker room? That us fans, we really don't, they've never really shined a light or had a camera in there for the most part. I mean, now and then, but there's never been like a halftime cam that kind of seems to be sacred territory to let the teams center and collect themselves. Have you ever been a part of a halftime thing that's gotten you back on track, like let's get back out there, beat that ass?
As a coach, you got to go in, you got to pick the way you're going into it,
right?
Because,
well, see, a lot of times half times are very quiet and very somber. Everybody's just, you know, drinking their Gatorades. There might be a few halftime adjustments. Rex would come in and throw out a whole game plan defensively. He'd be like, all right guys, all this stuff we worked on, this is gone. And they would you know, make some adjustments. We're going to run this now, blah blah blah, we're going to do these plays, this coverage, all this stuff. Most of the time, it's very calm. You know, there'll be a few adjustments here and there, but you just stick with the original game plan. There are times where it gets super heated. You know, guys getting after it. You know,
after each other.
Yeah, after each other. You need to pick it up, or you're not doing this right, or not. You know, throw me the ball or whatever.
But as a coach, it seems like one of the least beneficial things would be to go in there and just start yelling and screaming.
No doubt,
because you won't respond to that.
No doubt. Yeah, you go in there and just start ranting and raving, like nobody's gonna
like scolding players for screw ups and whatever. Like that's not
flipping
gonna help
tables
anything.
Over and stuff like that. It's any
coach done the opposite and just said, I don't even care anymore, and just like kind of walked into his office?
No. You guys think
that's a tactic. That is a tactic. I mean, that's why I said there's a lot of tactics these coaches can use.
Like the
silent
treatment.
Sometimes you can just walk in and go, look, we went through all this. You guys figure it out.
Yeah.
You guys get with each other and figure this out, because I'm at a loss.
Yeah. No, that would be funny, but no. I've never experienced that. I didn't speak a lot, but I had one my last year in San Diego. We were getting beat by the Niners on like a Thursday night game, or it was a night primetime game, and we were getting beat pretty good. And you know, had a good speech about, you know, what was the going out on your shield, you know, it's like the movie 300. And we talked about that and got everybody all riled up. And we started headbutting walls and went out there and won the game. So that's probably one of my. Yeah.
Well,
so,
you were the captain at Alabama two years, right?
2 years, yeah.
So did you have to do a lot of that in college or?
College, you did a lot more speaking, a lot more, you know, rally the troops because you're a kid. You're more impressionable. You know, you could get everybody all fired up and stuff. Professional guys usually do their job. They're going to do their thing. They've been doing it a long time. They're all pros.
Yeah.
In college, man, we'd go in the shower for whatever reason and just mosh pit, go absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Headbutt wall. And what was funny is like you were exhausted by the time you got on the field. You know? Right. Later on, I was like, man, that's stupid. I'm like,
never. I'm like, ever going to make that stupid mistake.
Have you ever had anybody get up there and try and rally the folks and give, like, the corniest speech?
So bad.
Guys, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah.
I just wanted to let people know that what happened out there was not a good thing. But we can do a good thing.
Well, in that same vein, how many times do you remember just tuning Ray Lewis out?
Just hearing white noise.
Yeah. So Ray, like, obviously super passionate, love his speeches. But
a long time ago,
once you've heard 10, like when your rookie year, you're like, oh my God,
yeah,
let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 by seasons
like,
in.
By the middle of your second year, you're like, all right.
Okay. I'm out. All right, it's between me and me. So I'm not God. God. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
let's talk Steelers. It's Steelers week.
Yes, it is.
Walk us through what this is like.
There's always a different energy in the locker room or in the building. Steelers, especially coming off a loss, coming off a loss like this, there's going to be a sense of urgency in that building for sure. So I think it's a good thing. Not a better team to be playing right now coming off a loss like that.
Yeah, the Steelers will have to pay for the sins of the Jags when, you know, they're coming in there, huge chip on their shoulder, no way that should have happened, and the Steelers are going to pay that penalty.
Right.
Fingers crossed that happens with all these injuries. I just need, A, victory, and B, I'm sick of seeing people down with the medical staff running over. There's got to be a time we somehow stem that tide of injuries. I mean, there's no way you can out-coach and practice that out of a game. But, I mean, this is three games in a row where you're seeing someone. Dude, when Jefferson went down, I almost went outside. I almost took a walk when Jefferson went down yesterday. Yeah. That was rough to watch. Jared Johnson Thursday. Jared Johnson show alongside Kirk and Marianne. The last four games of the season.
You're
in the booth, man.
That's going to be
Pitt
your
is
watch.
Doing a great job, but I'm coming for him, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming for him. I want